This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. You're listening to Roseanne Murray, and alongside me here today I have Tokanu Thompson, also from Community Waikato. And we're just going to have a chat around the Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori and the Māori Language Week. And just, yeah, have a little bit of a chat about, you know, what's been happening over the last week, today being the last day of the official week to celebrate the amazing language of New Zealand. And obviously the theme for this year also too was Aki Aki Aki, which is our forever language. So Tokanu, so just maybe, yeah, from your thoughts on, you know, how the week's gone and how you feel that, you know, we've sort of celebrated the week of Māori Language Week.
A tēnā rā tātou, a o tīrā, tēnā koe, Roseanne. Yes, it is Māori Language Week, and probably something worth highlighting is the notion of ake, ake, ake. And when I think back to Te Koroneihana, which is the coronation celebration that is done over a week annually, and obviously our king passed away now, so it will change again. But what was brought up in that kaupapa was the idea that Māori will be forever, and it's kind of maintained that same theme that no matter what happens in the landscape around us, te reo will remain. And that's the whole point, kind of Māori Language Week, is how we sustain and continue to grow te reo Māori, not just for Māori, but for everyone. So it's a celebration for everyone, a reminder of what we need to do together to progress te reo.
And something that I've noticed over the last few years, and probably in particular the last couple of years, is where you're seeing more organisations, more community groups embracing the Māori language and, you know, sort of maybe looking at running events, whether it's within your own organisation, whether it's sort of some sort of festivity. It's really great to see it being embraced so much more.
Yeah, and I think it's quite clear too from a Māori perspective that that's what is happening around us, that organisations and individuals as well are buying into the value of what I think Māori language can play in their lives.
Most definitely. And I know, you know, if I look at it personally from my own perspective, I've, you know, had probably the opportunity to undertake a couple of beginner courses in Te Reo. However, it's always ongoing, the development, and really looking forward to the opportunity that we're going to have within Community Waikato to actually undertake some more lessons, I suppose, to learn more about the Māori language. And for me in particular, you know, being able to learn the correct pronunciations and then also a lot of the meaning behind those words as well.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I think it's quite interesting for me to be able to sit back and kind of watch the journey of our colleagues and their learning opportunities. So I need to ask you, what do you feel like, or what experiences do you have that empowering you as an individual to continue this path, but also some of the challenges that you think you experience?
That's a really good question, actually, or two really good questions. For me, I noticed when I was travelling overseas a lot, and, you know, you go to different countries where, you know, the local communities maybe had one, two, or three different languages that they spoke quite fluently. And here I was, only with English at that stage, and I actually felt quite inadequate. And when, especially I found in Canada, when you had, you know, a lot of people, especially on the eastern side of Canada, who were fluent in French, but also too in English. And, you know, you have conversation with them and they're like, you know, oh, so, you know, what are some Māori words? You know, let us know what some Māori words are. And you're sort of like, well, kia ora. And wasn't a lot more from there. So for me, I always felt inadequate, I suppose. And I really felt that, you know, I needed to come home and actually be able to embrace, you know, learning the Māori language. For me, you know, that's all very much around being a New Zealander for me is being able to speak both, you know, Māori and English. And especially in my, I suppose, the job that I'm currently in as an advisor with Community Waikato, sort of, you know, end up sort of being in situations where I'm involved and we might go to along to a marae, for whatever reason that might be. And obviously reo is the main language spoken. And for me, I'd really love to be able to understand it more. You know, I can speak a little bit, but it's not just the speaking, it's the actual understanding what's been said. And so I really do want to, you know, learn a lot more so I can understand that. Yeah, so it's going to be, you know, a great opportunity that we're going to have coming up soon to be able to start undertaking that journey.
No, of course, I definitely, what an amazing experience to be able to go overseas and see how natural it is for pockets of people to speak multiple languages. It's quite common overseas. What I wanted to kind of address are some of these myths and misconceptions of learning te reo Māori, and probably the first one is that it's hard. And the only reason why I bring that up is because learning language is hard, irrespective of what language it is. If it's not the primary language that you speak, it's going to be hard to learn. What I always like to preface with learning te reo Māori is it's phonetic, which means that it sounds as it's spelt. And so when I used to, oh, in a previous life, I used to teach, and I used to introduce the tamariki with a, e, I, o, u, and a hakamana. So we all know the song A Hakamana Para Tawanga Whā. And when you finish that song, you have said every possible Māori syllable there is. And so it covers all the syllables. And once we learn that song, we can then encourage the pronunciation of Māori kupu and how we make that more comfortable. And probably back to encouraging non-Māori to speak Māori. While I feel privileged to be able to speak Māori, it is not a privilege that can only be afforded to Māori and is for anyone and everyone who is willing to learn it. And you don't have to be fluent to use it. You don't have to be able to be perfect to use it. If you can only use kind of daily words like kai, e tu, e noho, which is to eat, stand, sit, that's fine. That's a start. And we're trying to, the kaupapa of Māori language week is to normalise the use of Māori. And that's what we're trying to do. Just put enough words out there so that you're comfortable with it and it doesn't become a barrier. Language barrier is always going to be a thing. If I'm going to speak in full Māori and you can't understand, but in terms of the notion of me just using Māori words, creating an perceived barrier, those are the ones that we're trying to break down. So by using a little bit more every day, we just break down those barriers so that we can progress together, I guess.
And you're sort of seeing that a lot more with mainstream media, like TV, and I noticed in particular, you know, TV One, with their news, and not only during this week as well, but, you know, I say over the last 6 months or so, you see some of the different presenters that have come on, and even just with the weather, they've been, you know, using both Māori and English for, you know, presenting the weather. And just, you know, just some of those words, you know, about, you know, the different words for the North Island, South Island, or what, you know, what the town is, like for us, obviously, Kirikiriroa, or, you know, is it Hamilton? And I think, yeah, you're right. You know, the more we just hear those words, the more comfortable we feel about them. And I know personally for me, it's, you know, seeing other European people, you know, actually having a go. And, you know, you're right, they may not be fluent, but, you know, they're doing a fairly good job at it. And it's really encouraging to see more people actually having a go at speaking the reo.
And it definitely needs to be encouraged. So we're taking people on this journey with us. It's healthier if we're on this journey together. So it is important that when we use kupu Māori in spaces that not everyone knows what that means, that we offer the opportunity to translate it. And we can just continually use it. And as long as we show what the translation is, or if we double up, so I might say matau, which is right, and then I immediately say right. And then we're taking people on that journey with us. But We'll lose them if we don't do that, right?
Mm. That is true. And just even going back to, you know, you were talking about language, you know, learning a new language is a barrier. And it's amazing how with English language, you know, sometimes, you're typing away and you're like, oh, no, that's not the right context of you know, typing in English. And they do say that English is one of the hardest languages to learn. And as you were saying, Reo, it's phonetic. So, you know, it's a lot, probably a lot easier to learn for people that are both, you know, non-English, non-Reo speaking people. And I think, yeah, that's encouraging to hear. And it's like, well, you know, it's like anything. When you're learning anything, it's like, you know, you've got to start and just slowly build your way through and build into that journey that you're undertaking.
Yeah, I think, and going back to talking about those barriers, is how do we be supportive and how do we enrich that learning experience? How do we uplift them? People learning are going to make mistakes. So how do we make sure that they feel comfortable to make those mistakes yet learn from those mistakes? And that's quite a challenge, not just for non-Māori, but people who are Māori learning Māori. Because, you know, some people, the grammatical structure of the language is still important to them. And then so they'll address it on the spot. For others, it's not so much. I'm very much a, let's just get the language spoken in some form. We can tidy it up later on.
And I think that's if I translate it into like learning a new skill. You know, it's you know, you're not going to be perfect straight away. It's learning the fundamentals of that skill and being given the opportunity to, you know, like it might be in more of a play structure. You learn that skill, and then eventually, I'm thinking more specifically from a sporting background, is that, you know, you're doing it in an informal way, and then slowly it's built into a more formal, competitive way, and it then, you know, does stick with you forever. So I sort of see that in a way with learning a new language as well. It's just understanding the foundations, so how to pronounce the vowels correctly, and then you know, sort of progressing through from there.
Yeah. I mean, you've spoken about your learning journey, and after our song, I'd like to talk about my learning journey and some of the institutions that I think have really uplifted the progress of Te Reo Māori in the last X amount of years. We're going to play a song and have a little break, and this is from Rob Ruha and Ria Ho singing Hotu Hotu.
Tuki tuki anae he tapu no te puorangi Mauia atura te ako hamutu ma kore Oh,
And welcome back to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. You're listening to Roseanne and Tōkano. And we've been having a really good discussion around Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, the annual celebration, and showing support for the Māori language and for the Language Week, which finishes officially from today, and the theme about Aki 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 as a forever language. So prior to the music, we were sort of listening a little bit about my limited journey on learning reo. And we thought that now we'd just have a chat with Tōkano about his journey with learning reo, which is obviously a lot more extensive than mine has been. So, yeah, Tōkano, just want to share a little bit with us.
Nā tēnā koe, Roseanne. Yes, I have been very fortunate. I do consider myself fortunate. Mm. I would argue it's a privilege. Not everyone would have that view, but I do. And then one of the things that is really coming to the forefront at the moment, and I think it's a moniker of sorts, is this notion of the Kōanga Reo generation. And we've got MP, so we've got our young MP, Hana, in there, and she's from Te Kōanga Reo. And now Te Ariki Nui, Ngā Wai Honu I Te Pō, our queen, our Māori queen, sorry, who has got a Kōanga background, and they're considered the Kōanga Reo generation. I'm on the older side of that generational spectrum, but hey, I digress. And then so I had my opportunity to start there, but it wasn't all roses, so I didn't go straight through to Māori medium, and I jumped over to what was accessible, which was Kura Auraki, which is your mainstream school. So I went to school with no reo, and things was pretty hard in terms of maintaining my reo. And then as I got older, I went into bilingual. So I really like the notion of bilingual. I like that notion of a good steady balance of trying to progress in the world that we live in today, but also holding on to it. And I think the outcome was a pretty well-balanced outcome in the end. And that continued through. I went to a school called Hātāpetara College, which is bilingual, but also a school of faith. Unfortunately, that school is now closed down. And then I went over to a school called Rosmini College, which only offered Māori and correspondence, so again, not the best option for fostering reo growth. And then I came back to down here to Morrinsville, and then I learnt under the tutelage of their kaupapa Māori there, their Māori teachers there and their unit that they have. And then it just kind of went nowhere when I became an adult, until I went to university a couple of years later, and then I developed and fostered a love for the language again, and learnt a lot from the many, many capable Māori teachers there and lecturers. Tohunga reo, I guess you could call, which is kind of the epitome of Māori language speakers. And then I left uni, and then I went nowhere again because I wasn't in it, until I went full circle, found my way back to Community Waikato, where the essence of my job is to engage with Māori and Māori entity. And to do that, you have to foster your language. And then so a new desire. So my classroom, because I don't have capacity to be in an actual classroom, is pōkai. And pōkai is a series of gatherings for Māori around Waikato Tainui to bring their kawe mate, so to mourn and share the mourning of people who have passed away with other marae. And there's many speakers who speak from across Waikato Tainui, and that's my learning platform at the moment. And then I bring myself here today. It's been an interesting journey.
Yeah, it has. And you've had different sort of starting points and stop points. But it's great that, as you say, you've now gone full circle with that and able to use it a lot more than what you were previously doing. And I think that's like, learning any sort of language or skill, the more opportunity you get to use it, whether it's speaking, listening, it can only just enhance, your whole overall learning of that language.
Yeah, I think there's a fear too of overcommitting to learning te reo Māori, especially when our tamariki are young or our children are young. and thinking that they're going to fall behind. And whilst that can be a reality, I think I'm a perfect example of how that could be the opposite. I think I'm a capable speaker in both languages. And the reality is that I couldn't speak English till I was 5. You would think I came from another country if you heard me try to speak English. Mm. And I would argue that you know, that I couldn't speak English at all.
Yeah, although it's interesting, isn't it? They say that the younger you are, the quicker it is for you to pick up a language.
Yeah, and this leads me to something that I really wanted to talk about today is te kohanga reo. Te kohanga reo is a space for our preschoolers to learn, speak, and be immersed in te reo Māori and the tikanga of Māoridom. So I struggle to find the right word for tikanga, but it's just that Māori worldview, Māori world space, kind of living and breathing it.
Mm.
And why I'm a large proponent of it is because it sets the foundation of the language. And then, as I've kind of explained, I've gone in and out of forums or spaces that do foster and do not foster, but it is easy to come back because I had that foundation. And even though I didn't have any reo or minimal reo for 3 years between te kohanga reo and going to bilingual, it just flooded back. And it continues to flood back every time I immerse myself in it. But that foundation is so integral.
It is. And look, I don't really want to use any real comparisons as such, but if I think about myself, you know, when first I'm learning to ride a bike, you know, you start on the little three-wheeler or with the trainer wheels, and then you progress to, you know, the two-wheeler. And, you know, you might ride, like I rode to school when I was, you know, primary school and intermediate school, but then high school, it was definitely not cool to ride a bike to school. And it was a little bit closer, so we were able to walk to school. And then, you know, your teenage years definitely weren't riding a bike. But then I sort of, you know, got back to my 30s, 40s, decided I need to get back into exercise, got the old little mountain bike out, and it's amazing how you can quickly just get back on the bike, they say, as such. And it just took a little while to, you know, to remember everything, but it does, it's that memory recall. It does come back to you eventually. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. And there'll be elements of the language that you'll never lose.
Mm.
Some rules that I always follow, and I don't know how that's the only thing that I retain, but I retain it regardless. What I do want to really highlight next is another kind of space where Māori, or that added to the revitalization of te reo Māori, and that's called Te Panekiritanga. And this was a learning forum for our most elite speakers, led by these three leaders from Tūhoe. And what their vision was to take some of our speakers and lift them to the highest levels of oratory in Te Ao Māori. And now that program doesn't exist anymore. So that was closed when one of the three leaders passed away.
Mm.
And in respect to him, I guess they closed it. But really, what they identified is that their job was done. And what I mean by that is they had lifted such a wide group of capable speakers that it was no longer their role.
Mm.
It was no longer their role to what I would teach them, the ways of Tūhoe and their language. So Tūhoe is an iwi. But for them to go back to their homes, take what they've learnt and marry it up with their language from their own tribes, their tikanga from their own tribes, and then lift their own people. And I think that's quite clear that that's happened, as we see a resurgence in the revitalization of te reo Māori.
You sort of, you know, I notice, you know, and whether it's because of in our jobs that we do, but I do notice that there is a lot more te reo being spoken than there ever used to be. You know, we've already talked before about, you know, on television, it's becoming a lot more normalised as such, on the radio. You know, you just, you know, down the street, wherever you might be. And obviously, you know, and when you go to a lot of different meetings, maybe workshops, You know, there's a lot of, you know, I suppose the opening is a lot of karakia now, opening and closing. And, yeah, just in their introductions, a lot more people are using a pepeha that have never done that before, which is really great to see.
Absolutely. And I really just want to finish off then with, we call it an ohaki, which is kind of like your dying wish, and of our king. And that was Kotahitanga. But another thing that really he left that res was his call for Māori to be Māori all the time. And that is, that leads to what you're talking about. So Māori have had this resurgence in confidence to normalise it in our organisations. And then so by normalising it, it's accepted. And I think it's just another step that we've taken to revitalise our reo. Which, tying back to what we're talking about, is really the fundamental purpose of Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori.
Yeah, great way to sum that up, Tukane. It's really great. And look, it'd be really interesting to sort of see, you know, where this does go. You know, I'd like it to be that it's not just, you know, that the 1 week that we are focusing on each year, that it does become a lot more. And I don't really like to use the word mainstream, but, you know, it is, you know, a lot more normalised. I think that's a great way of putting it. So really exciting. So we must be getting close to running out of time, are we? Very close to that. All right. Well, look, you know, thank you everyone for listening to us, and I hope you've enjoyed listening to both myself and Tukano sharing our sort of experience with the reo language, and we wish you a very good rest of the weekend. So, ka kite.
Ka kite.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.